Let's turn to 3 John. Let's turn to 3 John, if you would. It's turning back where we left off last week and even a message before that. This is part of the vision of the Lord that I think that God has given me for us as a church as we go forward here in the year 2025. And let it be the vision of the Lord for you in your life, and that is prosperity and advancement in the kingdom of God. Prosperity and advancement in the kingdom of God. And we've been going through just defining what it really means to be prosperous. You know, the devil is such a liar, you know, that he wants to rob and hinder us in any way that he possibly can. You know, there can be blessings flowing in our lives, and the evil one wants to talk you out of it, that, you know, to make you feel as miserable as you would feel, and for you to be narrow in your focus. And, you know, we get fixated at times, and we think prosperity is one thing. You know, and then when reality, there's a lot of the prosperity of the Lord that is being unfolded in our lives, even at this point in time. And you know, what he's robbing us of, he's robbing us of our confidence of faith. He's robbing us of our joy, you know, that the hand of God is with us and he is upon us. You know, just as we hear it said all the time, you know, count your blessings, right? You know, count your blessings and name them one by one. You know, I really believe in that with all of my heart, you know, that you count your blessings and you find confidence of faith flowing in your heart when you begin to do that. Versus the work of the evil one is to convince you and I, you know, that, you know, we're not blessed. God's not doing anything. You know, we don't see the hand of the Lord. We don't see any prosperity, and we get down and out. And then we become victimized by the anyone, and we're set up for temptations at that particular point in time. You know, we want to resist the evil one. Prosperity is broadly based, defined. Now, I'm going to look at it here. Again, I'm going to read this particular scripture. This is in 3 John. I'll begin with verse 1. Verse 2 is what we're focusing upon. And the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health. And then he goes on and he says, just as your soul prospers. I feel like I almost have to speak this every time coming into this particular subject. You know, that there's a wing of Christianity that have taken all of this and I say perverted it. You know, where, you know, it's health and wealth, prosperity message. Yes, God prospers, and we're blessed with the prosperity of the Lord. But there's more to prosperity than a dollar bill. There's more to prosperity than a dollar bill. And as I say that, I also say to you that if you're in financial need, that you should seek the Lord and ask for financial blessing. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. God will bless you. But he wants to prosper you and I in a lot of ways. He wants to prosper us in a lot of ways. But know that this is the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but you'll notice that as you look at this particular scripture, that it talks about being in good health. It's not my words. I've just read the scripture to you. You know, that being in good health. Now, that doesn't mean, and I'm not going to tell you what these things don't mean. I'm just going to tell you what they do mean, right? You know, so don't read into what I don't say. All right, but this is the promise of God. And I want to be honest with you. It doesn't matter what I'm experiencing. It doesn't matter what I've seen, or it doesn't matter what questions I've got. The one thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to believe the promise of God. And I'm also going to believe that the Lord's going to lead me through obtaining the promise of Almighty God. So, all right, so we go on here. That word prospers, as I've spoken before, is eodou. Eodou in the Greek, and it means a prosperous journey or to succeed. A prosperous journey or to succeed. And this is the foundation of prosperity. Again, there's no place here where it talks about a dollar bill. So there's a whole lot more to prosperity. You can be everything but prosperous and have all the money in the world. I told you a few Sundays back that I've got an announcement to make. Something that you don't know. Maybe you don't know about your pastor. And that is that I'm more prosperous than Ted Turner. You know who Ted Turner is? You know, he's the one that, you know, invented, the founder of CNN. I think that his net worth is about $2 billion at this particular point in time. But he also says that Christianity is for weak people. That Christianity is for weak people. Well, I gladly will proclaim that. I'm weak, but I've been saved from my weaknesses, and I've prospered, hallelujah, in the Lord. But I'm more prosperous. He's running about 85 years old right now, and he says that Christianity is for weak people. I don't want to be in his shoes. I'll take my shoes any day. Right? So do you understand there's a whole lot more the prosperity than having a dollar bill? And as I say that, if you're in financial need, if you're in financial need, ask the Lord to bless you. Expect from God in every realm. Not only expect from God, but there's another side of it, and that is submit to God. Submit to God. You know, let's ask of the Lord. You know, you do not have because you do not ask. All right, that's for exactly what it says. I'm going to refer to it now. It's James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. You know, that word ask, that Greek word, you know, that's kind of a simple word, but the Greek word is aito, and that is A-I-T-E-O. That's the Greek word, and it means to make a request. It means to make a request, you know, or to ask, or to call. And in that context, he's saying, you know why you don't have? Do you know why you don't have? You don't have because you don't ask. You don't have because you don't ask. I believe in being bold with God. Be bold with God. The old evil one wants to keep us knocked down to the place to where it's like, well, we kind of measured on what we think that we deserve. Well, let me give you a little bit of information. You don't deserve any of it. Okay, you don't deserve any of it. It's the loving kindness of the Lord. It's the loving kindness. It's the goodness of God. It's the love of God. And it's the promise of Almighty God. It's the promise of Almighty God. We need to take up the kingdom. We need to take up the kingdom that has been given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to live according to the kingdom of Almighty God. We've been delivered from our sins, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been delivered from the ramifications of all that which is sin. He has taken up our poverty. He has taken up our poverty, and he has given us his riches. That's what it says. Let me read it to you, if I may. For example, this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now again, you know, those are not my words. Those are the word of the Lord. You know, and that word rich right there, it means wealthy or to be a rich man. Wealthy or to be a rich man. That word poverty is the word that says, it says one who crouches low. One who crouches low, or one who is of a beggar spirit. Needy. You know, so, you know, this is what has happened through the cross, is that Jesus took on our poverty. You know, there's nothing greater in poverty than death. And all of the ramifications of death, whether it's spiritual death or whatever, it's our future. You know, just like, for example, unless Ted Turner has had a change of heart and a change in mind, you know, he's a man of great poverty. He's a man of great poverty. You know, we have become rich. We've received the riches of the Lord of the kingdom, which go far beyond a dollar bill. You know, if your life is racked with depression and hopelessness and despair, and you got a bank account with millions and millions of dollars within it, tell me what kind of good is that? If you go from doctor to doctor and medication to medication,
you know, and nothing ever changes for you. You tell me, how prosperous are you? I don't call that prosperity, do you? No, no, whatsoever. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray over that right now because the Spirit of the Lord has been really ministering to me about a spirit of depression. And you do not have to live in depression. You do not have to live in depression. And one of the great blessings of the Holy Spirit is called gladness and joy in the Holy Spirit. What I say to you is come and submit to the Lord with all of your heart, because this is the condition of receiving from the Lord. Yes, He will bless you. He will raise you. He will raise you beyond all of your imagination. He'll open doors for you. He'll make a way for you where there is no way. But He wants you. He wants you. Come to Him. Come to Him. Don't hold anything back from Him. Love Him. Follow Him. Serve Him. Give your whole heart to Him. And He will bless you beyond what you can even imagine. But you don't have to live in a state of depression. So I'm just going to pray right now, Father, that in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God, that Father, Lord, I don't care what kind of diagnosis has been spoken. In Jesus' name, let the spirit of depression be broken here now. And whoever's been plagued with a spirit of depression, be broken that spirit now in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you would bring the blessing of promise, of gladness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Where depression has been, there shall now be gladness and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the great blessings of God, you know, when we talk about the riches of the kingdom is the very life of God. We're talking about the gift of righteousness, eternal life. Eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins and having them washed away. Peace with God. Peace. And, you know, when we talk about peace with God, we're also talking about, it insinuates having a relationship with the Lord, our God. You know, I got saved at a young age. But, you know, that's all I knew was about being saved and being, quote, unquote, a good Christian boy. That didn't work out too well, you know, and being, you know, a good church guy, you know, and that didn't work out too well either. You know, so, you know, that's all I knew at that point in time. You know, that's all I knew. And so I sought to live it. I sought to live it, and it didn't work too good. You know, but then I had the Spirit of God come upon me, and I know where I was at that point in time. I could tell you exactly. It's been a lot of years ago, you know, and the Holy Spirit said, Ron, you may know me. I know I've told you this before, Ron, you may know me. And that transformed my life because an open door opened in my spirit, in my heart, you know, and I heard the word of the Lord and I felt it and I felt it. And it took me and brought me on a path. It took me on a path that I otherwise would never have known. And that is that you may know Him. What a joy it is to know the one and only true living God. To have a fellowship and a relationship with Him. I don't care where you are in that relationship. I want you to know that God wants to take you deeper. All right? And He wants to take you deeper. I don't care how many, you know, where you know how well you know Scripture, and praise God. And I'm going to tell you, we need to know Scripture better. We need to know Scripture better. You know, but no matter how well we know it, you know, God, in fellowship and in relationship and experiencing Him, He wants to take you and me deeper. Deeper. You know, it's so exciting to walk with the Lord. You know, that the spirit of man in his religiosity seeks to chase people away. Isn't that right? You know, because there's absolutely nothing more boring than the religion of men. When there's not the life of the Spirit, and there's not the joy of the Lord in experiencing God, and you go through the motions, you go through the motions of that religious spirit. You know, everybody sits in church waiting for it to get over with, where I can get to where the real fun's at, right? Good grief. What an indictment that is against a Christian and against the church. You know, when that's where real true excitement ought to be found, and what we ought to be experiencing in the Lord. It's exciting to walk with God. It's exciting to walk with God. It's exciting to have Him make Himself known to you. You know, and there's a scripture that says that even though thou outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. You know, I'm just going to tell you as one, just as a testimony, I experience that. I'm experiencing that. I know some of you are doing that. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be, right? Okay. You know, even though my outer man is decaying, you know, my inner man is being renewed day by day. My goodness. You know, that's where you're experiencing the Lord. You know, and more is coming on and inside of you. You're experiencing more of the power, more of the glory, more of the grace, more of His presence, more of the intimate communion with God. There's just absolutely nothing like intimate fellowship and communion with God. Not knowing about God, but knowing God. You know, And this is the prosperity of the Lord. You know, that one day we just go on and be with the Lord. You know, our life, and I've said this before, our life for the believer that has entered into the eternal life of the Lord, our life is in front of us, not behind us. Like, oh yeah, you know, you better get the best of it right now. Oh yeah, go and get the best of it right now, because you know, heaven's gonna be so boring. Really? Are you kidding me? Right? I mean, these lies of the evil one, right? You know, there's so many lies of the evil one, you know, to cause us to be repelled from the things of God instead of understanding all that is before us and all of the glory that is before us and how we've lived our lives. I'm talking to the Christian, and how we've lived our lives. The word of the Lord talks about receiving of rewards. Receiving of the rewards. Now, salvation is on the basis of faith through grace and grace alone, and you can't do anything to earn it. But you earn rewards, make no mistake about it. You earn rewards. You know, and the Word of God talks about there shall be a day that you will receive rewards. And I won't get into all of that right now. It's how we live. It's how we live. It's choices, little choices. And it is honoring, it's glorifying Jesus, it's following the Lord, it's following the sufferings of Jesus, and I'm not going to live for the world, I'm going to live for Jesus. And there are things that you are denied because you don't do them, right? You don't do them, you don't indulge in the way of the flesh. You know, I'm not saying you don't make mistakes. That's another subject. But I'm saying we don't live after the flesh. We live after the Spirit. We live after love. You know, we forgive when we don't feel like forgiving. Right? We forgive when we don't feel. What in the world does it matter whether you feel like it or not? If you're waiting to forgive somebody based on whether you feel it, forget it. It ain't going to ever happen for you. That's the lie of the evil one. I forgive because I've been forgiven. Did you know that's fundamentally foundation to being a Christian? Huh? I'm not going to turn to that scripture, but you can look it up. All right? You know, that's fundamental to the foundation of being a Christian is forgiving. And why? Because we've been forgiven. Right? You know, that Christianity is forgiveness. That's what Jesus died for. And I call myself a Christian. Right? You know, but I sure do hate them. I'm not saying that some of these things can't be a challenge, because I know that they can be. I know that they can be a challenge. I know that when someone has really done you harm and they've really done you wrong, that it can really put you in a very, very difficult and trying circumstance and situation. All right? I know that. But I want you to know that sometimes forgiveness is a process. God will bring the forgiveness into your heart, but you choose it. You know, you actually, what you end up doing is you forgive by faith. You forgive by faith. You know, and you forsake that old thing about what it feels like, right? And the devil will fight you every step of the way. He'll say, well, look at you. You know, you say you forgive them, and, you know, and look at the thoughts that you just had about them, you know, and the feelings. You know, when you have thoughts, then you have feelings, you know, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, I mean, nothing's going on. You're the only one in the room, and but you're madder than an old wet hen, right? You know, because of those thoughts, and the evil ones challenge you, and you know he wants you to fall into the deception. He wants you to fall into the deception. Well, I'm not forgiving. I'll have to wait till forgiveness comes upon me, and then I'll forgive. It ain't ever going to happen. Some people have problems in their lives that dictate to their behavior, because they've never forgiven the people that they need to forgive. And once you choose that you will forgive them, you will get release from that thing that eats your lunch on the inside of you, that pushes you, propels you, that causes you to say, I don't even know why I do what I do. I don't even know why I am the way I am. What in the world is wrong with me? I don't know what's wrong with me. But you still don't stop it, and you still keep on doing it. Forgiveness. Forgiving people because you've been forgiven. That's big. I'm telling you, it's real big, right? It's real big. You know, and you forgive by faith. And, you know, this is the big one, right? This is a big one. And the big one is that, you know, always somebody comes to you and says, oh, you know, I really did you wrong. I'd like for you to forgive me. I think I can count on one hand how many times that's happened to me, right? Someone come, right, and say, oh, would you please forgive me? You know, I think I can count on one hand, you know, and I may have a few fingers left, right? Of how often it don't happen, right? It don't happen. It's not based upon whether somebody's asking for forgiveness. It's got nothing to do whether they even think that they should be forgiven. You know, they may think that they have done nothing wrong, or they may take the position, you know, of whatever, and it's got nothing. This is between you and Jesus, right? This is between you and Jesus. You know, now, I'm going to tell you something here. Now, you walk after that pathway. I don't care how long you got to walk after it. You know, you are under the blood. You're under the blood. As you're dealing with it, you're under the blood. And as it keeps coming up, you keep dealing with it. And I tell you that there's going to come a place, a point in time, where your heart will be completely set free. You will no longer have bitterness. You will no longer carry the anger around. Oh, hallelujah. You'll no longer be dictated by hurt. Are you with me? You'll no longer be dictated by hurt. The hurt will be gone. You will be able to remember the event or events or circumstances or whatever it would be with no dictation to your emotions. With no dictation to your emotions. You will be free. You will be free. I mean, you know, some people have a lot more to deal with than somebody offended them and called them a name, right? You know, some people got a whole lot more to deal with, right, than, you know, they hurt my feelings, you know, they talked about me. Okay, right? All right. Some people got a lot more than that. Some people got a lot more than that, right? So there's a process involved. There's a process involved. But you got to go forward. You got to go forward. Because even as a Christian, if you don't go forward, those things will dictate to your emotions and to your feelings and to your personality and to your circumstances all the days of your life. Because you are enslaved to it. You are in bondage to it. And it will bring more heartache. It'll bring more unhappiness. It'll bring more destruction to your life than you can possibly imagine. And that's the devil's plan anyway, right? That's the devil's plan. That's what that he wants to do. You know, but we obey the word of the Lord. We obey the word of the Lord because we love the Lord and because of the promises of God. You know, so if you're on that journey, first of all, start the journey. Forgive. No longer hold them accountable. No longer hold them accountable. You forgive. And you forgive by faith. And then as you forgive by faith, okay, then you keep lifting it up to the Lord. When those old feelings come back to you or whatever it is, you know, you take that position. I forgive in the name of Jesus. I forgive in the name of Jesus. And then you start praising God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me every ounce of that forgiveness in my heart. Thank you, Lord. And don't listen to the devil anymore. Don't listen to the devil anymore. And don't fall into the trap of the evil one. Well, I'll forgive them when I feel, when I have that feeling of forgiveness. See, that's a lie. That's a lie. And you're never going to have it. You're never going to have it. So he keeps you trapped. He keeps you trapped by the lie. Because forgiveness is an act of heart. It's an act of heart with your own will that you make the decision. And that's how God sees it too. I don't care how bitter you are. I don't care how angry you are. I don't know how much hurt that you've got in your heart. That when God receives your act of faith, he receives it. He receives the act of faith of forgiveness. That, Lord God, I do choose to forgive them. And then the Holy Spirit begins to move upon you in ways unseen to unravel everything that has affected you. To where you'll be able to look at it. You'll be able to look at it and say, I'm not ruled by that anymore. I got peace in my heart. I got peace in my heart. I'm going to pray right now for someone that it's just, it's been ministering to me all morning, and that is in the area of sadness. There's a sadness that you're dealing with. There's a sadness. You know, and I'm separating unhappy with sadness. You know, there's a sadness. You've been sad about some things, and right now, you know, the Lord's going to remove it from you. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to pray right now. And that spirit of sadness be broken. That affliction and that torment, and those fiery darts, in the name of Jesus, let them be broken now in Jesus' name. That activity, an attack, shall be no more. It shall be no more in the name of Jesus. Something else I want to pray about with it, and that's about a spirit of regret. Holy Spirit, thank you for taking away the spirit of regret. Thank you for removing it, Lord God, right now, the spirit of regret. And thank you, Father God, for putting forth, Lord, in your beloved, a spirit of renewal, a spirit of hopefulness, a spirit of expectation of good things from the hand of the Lord. Good things from the hand of the Lord. In Jesus' name. One of the first parts of prosperity, you know, is that you're willing to believe God for it. You know, you have to believe for the things that God has promised. All of these blessings are a part of the prosperity of the Lord. You know, for example, as we go forth here in understanding prosperity. What is prosperity? It's a prosperous journey or to succeed. The Lord wants to remove every element of destruction from our life. You know, and he wants to show us the root causes of things so that they can be removed. You know what that means? It means that I got to let the Lord deal with my heart. It's not just my circumstances that are involved. It's my heart. And as I let him deal with my heart, he'd give me a total different perspective on my circumstances. Are you hearing me? He'll give me a total different perspective on my circumstances. You know, a lot of times we want to blame things, right? It's kind of like our nature, right? Isn't that what happened in the garden? You know? Isn't it funny? Everybody blamed somebody else, didn't they? Right? You know, the woman did it, you know. Well, I say that a lot. Beatrice made me do it, you know. So we're still doing it, right? That was a joke. That was supposed to be a joke, you know. But, you know. So, you know, we blame, right? And then and Eve, you know, it wasn't me now, you know. It was that old nasty serpent, right? You know, it was that old nasty serpent. Isn't that funny? Everybody in the garden had somebody else to blame, right? So do you understand that's kind of characteristic of our human nature, right? You know, doggone, if they would just change, then they would be different, then I'd be happy. Right? You know, right? Oh, if I had a boatload of money. Oh, if I just had a boatload of money. Man, oh, man, oh, man, would I be happy then? You know, I knew a guy, you know, and I won't tell his whole story, but he had no education. He went to prison. He went to prison because he and his buddy thought that they would rob illegal gambling joints. And, you know, who's going to report that? Except the sheriff, who was all so involved, you know, with everything. It wasn't a smart idea, right? You know, to go robbing those illegal gambling joints because every policeman in town knew where they were. Well, needless to say, Raymond got caught. Right? He went to prison. He got saved in solitary confinement. That's where he got saved. And when he got out of prison, you know, he was following the Lord. God made him a multimillionaire. He had no education. He had none, right? You know, but God put things in him and decided to make him a millionaire. You know, because there are scriptures that talk about, you know, those that God blesses so that they can fund the activity of God in the earth. You know, God will raise up people and make them financially prosperous that they may be able to give to the kingdom of God. You know, and that happened. And Raymond was a great influence. He was a great influence. He really was. Gave a lot of money. Gave a lot of money. He made a lot of money. But he got his eyes off Jesus. You know, I tell you what, that life and that lifestyle comes with a lot of dangers. Oh, if I just had $1 million, you know. Oh, if I just had more money in my bank account, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Matter of fact, in reality, you may have more problems. And listen, you know, may God bless each of us, all of us, more of us, with financial blessings in the name of Jesus. I pray that. Okay? You know, because money is not the problem. It's the heart of man. You know, that becomes the problem. You know, and Raymond, poor Raymond, had a great fall. He had a great fall. So having $1 million in your bank account, no, that's not your answer. Your answer is Jesus. And I want to close by showing you one last aspect here. I use that word. Here it is found in the second verse, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects," now I want you to see that little phrase, "you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." Would you turn to Colossians real quick, chapter 1. Go to Colossians chapter 1, and this is going to be the scripture I'm going to close with. In Colossians chapter 1. Now that word in all respects, okay, the NIV says that all may go well, all right? But that is one Greek word, pass, P-A-S. You know, that's the Greek word there. And this is what it means. It means all, every, all respects, in all things, always, anything, continually, entirely, everything, whatever, and then the word whole, W-H-O-L-E. Now, you know, that's the word that is there. You know, that I pray that you may prosper in all respects. That's the word that is used right there. Now, that same word is found here. Now, this is in Colossians chapter 1, and this is verse 18. Colossians 1:18 says, "He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." Now look at this. "So that he himself might come to have first place in everything."